All right, let's go ahead and turn over in your Bibles back to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3, as we continue on. And looking at the chapter, we're focusing in on part of the vision to lead, and we're going to really get back to understanding a little bit more about that and why I kind of entitled chapter 3 as far as this whole theme is concerned, as far as vision to lead, because we see that with Paul. Paul always led by example, and really today it's like what we're going to be covering. We're going to be looking at verses 8 and 9 and just looking at winning Christ and what that is all about, because I think, unfortunately, today in Christianity, that we really do not have an understanding of what it means to win Christ. Paul's not talking about getting saved. He is saved. The Philippians that he's talking to, they are saved. And so we're not talking about winning Christ as something as trying to do something to obtain salvation. Winning Christ has to do with what happens after salvation, and understanding what we have to gain, that we can gain in winning Christ, and also understanding what we have to lose in doing that. So there's some things that we need to cover, and I'm just going to be scratching the surface as far as verses are concerned and dealing with this. We'll spend a great deal of time in just dealing with verse 8 and what this is all about. Now remember, in the last couple of weeks we talked about where Paul was kind of going through his pedigree and his flesh, and if he had any reason to be able to glory in the flesh, he says, I more. And of course, it's not about his flesh. It's not about religion. That's one of the things that we talked about, dealing with the circumcision and just everything that was laid out there. It's not a matter of having a religion, which is something that is man trying to come up and come up with laws or rules to be able to say this is what it is to be, how to get to heaven and how to please God or worship God. That's religion. It's man-made. It's about a relationship, and that's something that I've been focusing on, and we'll see even more so even next week as we will cover only one verse, Lord willing, about dealing with the aspect of having a deep relationship with Christ. But today we're going to deal with winning Christ. If you look down in chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9, I want to read the verses. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see here. But again, from verse 8, Philippians 3, it says this, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." All right, and so we're going to be looking at it. Verse 8, we talk about figuring. He did some figuring, all right? And he figured that, again, everything that I have outside of Christ is nothing but loss. And we'll talk about that and actually count it but done. We understand what that is, something that we just flush down the toilet. That's what he thinks about his life without Christ, his past life before getting into Christ. But again, in verse 9, we'll see, again, being found, not having his own righteousness, but that which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk about that. So again, I want you to, I warn you, again, there's a number of verses that we're going to go through, but it is important for us to see this, because again, this is something that is not really preached, not really taught. A lot of Christians don't even have a clue or understand what it is talking about winning Christ. We're in a day and age where there's a lot going on, like Kurt prayed. I mean, we know that. It's been that way this year. 2020 has been a heck of a year, and we still got more of it to go. And who knows? I mean, God knows what's going to happen, but we don't understand everything that's going to take place. But in all of this, we got to see that what we really need to understand as Christians today is that we need to be focused on, we talk about, ready for the rapture and the Lord to come back for us. What happens after the rapture is immediately the judgment seat of Christ, where we get judged for the work that we have done as believers in Christ on this planet. And there will be rewards and there will be suffering loss. And that's what this whole winning Christ is all about. And most, I would say, Christianity, most churches, most pastors don't either study this out, and it's very clear, as you're going to see in the Word of God all over the place, but they have, Christians don't even have a clue that they're going to be, one, held accountable for what they do as Christians, all right? And again, that there is something to lose and that there is something to gain. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see here today. Desperately need to understand this message today about winning Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the things that you laid on my heart to be able to communicate today. Lord, I just pray and I hope that I can clearly and effectively to be able to lay out the truth of the Word of God, and that we would hear it. We need to hear this. This is something that is so vital and so important, especially in the time, the day and age that we live in. Christianity is more than just getting saved. Christianity is more than just coming to church. It's more than just listening to the message. It's more than just the things that we think, quote unquote, that that's Christianity. Lord, you have a job for us to do. You have a plan for us. And you have such incredible reward that we can't attain in eternity, beyond just going to heaven. I mean, obviously, that's awesome. But there's so much more that you have for us, and this message starts dealing with that today. So, Lord, help us to understand it. For those who are here, for those who are listening via Facebook, those who will see this in the future, I pray, Lord, that they would open up their hearts and minds and really see the Scripture, see what you say over and over again. Again, and that is so important that we make a course adjustment if we are not doing the things that we need to be doing according to your word. Lord, that we can win Christ. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at it. Let's take this thing apart and put it back together again. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now remember, he just came from talking about in verse 6 and verse 7, talking about concerning zeal, how he persecuted the church, touching the righteousness and the law, he was blameless. But in verse 7 it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." In other words, all the accomplishments and everything that Paul attained to before he was in Christ, he counts it loss, alright? It's nothing. Nothing can compare to being in Christ. And now in verse 8, he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." I mean, he counts it loss. It's important to understand that everything that he has, that this world has given him or that he's obtained, he counts it as loss. It doesn't mean anything. There's nothing that he wants to hold on to. I think about this and even saying it. It's like a lot of times there's Christians that are not ready to go to heaven because they're still clinging to the things of this world. Alright? And it's like that should be our overriding desire. And it's not because of COVID. It's not because of the craziness that's going on in our country. We should want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ because we love Him and understand everything that He's done for us. And Paul says, this world has nothing to offer. Remember last week I talked about how he lived a crucified life. How he was, the world was crucified to him and he was crucified to the world. There was nothing that this world had to offer that even begins to come close to what he has in Christ. And so he talks about in verse 8 again, it says, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Now I want you to turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. This is a familiar verse, but I want to read a few verses beyond this. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. As you make your way there, you might remember a week or so ago, actually I think it was just even last week, I talked about looking at everything that Paul goes through, everything that I should say that Paul did in persecuting the church and wasting it, and talked about him being a blasphemer and how he was injurious and caused injury and everything like that. But again, he talks about how God's mercy and God's grace was given towards him. And one of the things I said, it doesn't matter what you have done in your past. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter what you've done. To think that it's like, well, there's no way God can save me or God could use me. Yes, He can. There's nothing that God's grace cannot cover. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this. We're going to continue on through verse 20. It says this, again, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I mean, like, do you believe the Word of God this morning? That's what the Word of God says. And it's no, but if this. Yeah, everything has passed away except this. Everything has passed away. Behold, everything has become new except for this. There's nothing like that in that verse. All right? And so it does not matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you have done. God's grace is able to take care of it, and we are new in Him. "Therefore, if any man in this world, any man, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, what Paul is talking about, remember, the Corinthians, they were the carnal Corinthians. There was a lot of things that were going on that was hindering their relationship, hindering their fellowship with the Lord and with each other. And Paul is saying you need to be reconciled. He's talking to believers here, alright? So it's not just doing with those who are lost getting saved, being reconciled, but even those who are saved and out of fellowship and not doing what God wants them to do, that they need to be reconciled. Because in this, God has made you new. He has given you a new lease on life. You have your new creature in Christ's life for the purpose of being able to minister the truth to others. That's why I read the rest of those verses. He has given us a ministry of reconciliation that we're supposed to do by the word of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ. We've talked about that before. We represent, as Christians, heaven's interest on planet Earth. We represent heaven's interest in the United States. In Southeast Kansas, God wants to use us as ambassadors so that lost people can be reconciled, and those who are saved and are not doing what's right, that they can be reconciled as well. We have a ministry, and that all things are of God. All things. No matter, nothing happens on this planet without God signing off on it. And I know there's some things that are some tough things to deal with. It's not fun having to deal with COVID-19. It's not fun dealing with all the things. But all things are of God, and they're there for a reason, and it's for the reason of being able to minister the truth of the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. Christianity is not just a matter of getting saved, heaven bound, and then you just sit around and see that your die of the rapture happens. Christianity, God has saved you and left you here for a reason to minister truth. And that is what goes into part of winning Christ. We'll see that here in a little bit. You go back to Philippians chapter 3. Man, I guess I'm a little bit wound up. I'm just getting into this. That's the way it is. I guess maybe it's because of my lack of sleep since I worked last night. I don't know. But I'm wound up about this. I really am. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8 is saying, again, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things the loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. We're going to see even more of that even next week. It's a personal relationship, especially the knowledge. He counts all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. I told you before, as we came through Philippians chapter 2, and when you see the difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is God becoming man, God coming from heaven to earth. He wants to understand more of the excellency of the knowledge of what God did, or what Christ did, of coming to earth for Him. All right, to die on a cross for Him. It's a personal relationship, my Lord. And we should always be wanting to grow in that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should never be satisfied with where we're at. We want to grow in that knowledge of Him. I want you to go back just one page, or not maybe a couple of pages for you, but one book, the book of Ephesians. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look down at verses 17 and 18. And this is where, again, we start looking into what it is about this winning Christ and talking about His inheritance. I want you to notice what Paul really is praying for the Ephesians, for them to understand more. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 17, it says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And it's not just Bible knowledge we're talking about. Obviously, we're not going to know Him without the Word of God. But we're not just talking about having a head knowledge. We're not talking about, oh, this is how much I understand about the Old Testament, the New Testament, the whole Bible, and how I can break it apart and put it back together again. We're not talking, it says, knowledge of what? Of Him. How well are we growing and knowing Jesus and knowing Him? Going beyond just the salvation, knowing Him. And he goes on in verse 18 and says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what I'm praying for us today right now. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, Jesus Christ, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Jesus Christ has an inheritance. And that is part of what we are trying to win. And we win Christ, then we get to be a part of His inheritance. Now, we have our inheritance as far as salvation is concerned. Since you're in Ephesians chapter 1, just look back at verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says this. Speaking of being in Christ, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the process of how we got saved. Somebody spoke to us, preached to us the truth of the word of God. We heard it, we believed it, we accepted it, we get sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And it goes on in verse 14, it says, which is, speaking of the Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance. And so the redemption of a purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Until the Lord comes back for us. The Spirit of God is the earnest. This is what God says, hey, we belong to Him. We accept that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We trust and we believe in Him. He gives us the Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest. Saying, I'm going to come back. The earnest of our inheritance. Every person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have an inheritance of dealing with their salvation. But that doesn't guarantee that you get to be a part of His, Jesus Christ's, inheritance. Every word of God is important. Alright? And so when we talk about His inheritance, we're really dealing with winning Christ. Alright, again, you go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's dip into this verse again and draw some other things out of it. It says this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things the loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I may win Christ. Now let me look at this here. Alright, let's look at this. He counts all things lost for Christ, but being in Christ, he also suffered the loss of all things. This is not the same thing. There is a price to pay. When you're talking about accepting Christ, Paul paid a heavy price. There were people, once he got saved and started preaching, guess what? People wanted to kill him. His own ministry, people were coming after him over and over and over again. At one point, his first missionary journey, I mean, they threw him out of the city and stoned him and thought he was dead. What did Paul do? Get back up and he went on. What about the relationships? We don't know all that took place when Saul got saved and became the Apostle Paul, but it says he suffered the loss of all things. Now, one of the things, if you've done any study or anything like that, you might find out that, again, Paul was part of the Sanhedrin Council. And according to Jewish tradition, if you were on the Sanhedrin Council, one of the requirements that you had to be married. Again, you're going to find that in the Word of God. That's something that is tradition that is passed down. But if that is the case, we know that Paul did his ministry. He wasn't married. We know that. Maybe that was part of it. He suffered the loss of all things. Think about your own life, especially if you're standing for truth. How many of you have broken family relationships or something like that because you stand on truth and your family doesn't? Suffer the loss of all things. There's no way, Christians, we need to understand this. There is no way we're going to win Christ without suffering the loss of some things. Paul says in Philippians 3 verse 8, he says, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done. Alright? The reason why he's dealing with how he counts it, he understands that, is because he already, in the beginning of this verse, what does he say at the beginning of verse 8? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Paul made the decision that anything of this world, by this world, through this world, anything that he's saying, guess what? It's loss. He already counted it loss. So that when he suffered the loss of all things, guess what? I've already made that decision. You know, none of us, I would think, like to lose things, especially when it deals with relationships with people. But folks, I gotta tell you, the most important relationship and a priority, number one, that all of us are supposed to have is our walk in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen people that have sided with their family against the truth of the Word of God, and they choose their family over the Word of God. I understand. Family relationships are hard. I don't know why I'm having to deal with this and talk about it now, but it's on my mind. It is hard dealing with those things. But it's nothing that, again, that we don't see in the Word of God. Our person that God has given us, that understanding how to follow Christ, the Apostle Paul, he suffered the loss of all things, but he counted everything loss. Why? For Christ. That is priority number one for each and every believer in Christ. It's Him. It's Christ. And standing on truth, you're going to suffer some things. But the reward that we can have is winning Christ. Well, what are you talking about? Well, again, when he talks about this, I'm going to read verse 8 again, and then we're going to deal with some references here. We're talking about winning Christ. It says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Again, something that you just flush down the toilet. That's anything this world has to offer is nothing but something that you would flush away. Why? It says that I, notice, may win Christ. It's not a guarantee. Our inheritance, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're heaven bound. That's your inheritance, our inheritance. That can't be taken away from you. We call it eternal security. And there's plenty of scripture in the Word of God that lays that out for our doctrine. But to have his inheritance, to win Christ, may win Christ. Paul, right, it's like he wasn't at this time saying that it was a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. May. All right? When I go home, I may have something to eat, and I may not. I worked all night. I've only slept a couple hours before getting here, so I got to decide. Well, you know, I may have something to eat, and I may not. If I tell you that, you automatically know, well, it's not a guarantee, it's not 100% that when Charles gets home, that he's going to have lunch or not. It's a may. It may happen. All right? The governor of the state of Kansas said, you know, our agency, we may get an increase. Probably not now, not after all this stuff. We're all hoping, yeah, 10% increase, woohoo! And then COVID-19 showed up. We understand that word. All right? As parents to kids, you know, kids ask you, hey, can I get something at the store? Well, it may happen, and it may not. And usually that depends on what? How they behave, right?
They should.
Well, what's God telling us today? What's Paul? What is it laying out here in the Word of God? We may win Christ. I've got to count all things lost. I've suffered loss of all things that I may win Christ. All right, what's that all about? I want you to turn back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Again, we'll see this aspect of two different inheritance. All right? One guaranteed, one is conditional. All right? Romans chapter 8. I want you to look down to verses 17 and 18. Again, this is something that is just not taught. Just not taught in our churches. It's not. Unfortunately, a lot of churches, I mean, it's, obviously, we need to preach for people to be saved. All right? That sort of thing. But that's preaching that really should be done outside the walls of the church. That's evangelism. All right? Sharing the truth with our, you know, co-workers or family members, whoever in our neighborhood that do not know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, that is preaching and teaching that needs to be done, but that's something that needs to be done outside of the walls. The people who are in the walls should be believers in Christ. That's how we see it laid out in the Word of God. When Paul is addressing the Philippians, he's addressing saved individuals. He's not addressing the walls. All right? And this is something that, unfortunately, is just not taught, not studied, not given 2 cents or anything like that. And it's so important because when it comes time for the rapture, when it comes time standing at the judgment seat of Christ, it's too late to understand this. And there's no going back and there's no do-overs. All right? Like me playing golf. Hit a bad shot. Okay. Let me drop another ball and try it again. All right? It's not like that. All right? You look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says this, and if children, then heirs of God. That's the first inheritance. If we've accepted Christ our Savior, we are children. All right? God's our Father. We are heirs. Now let's continue on. It says, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That means there's something else. We're heir of God when we accept Christ as our Savior. But it says, and joint heirs with Christ, but notice what comes next. If. Conditional. So be that we, notice this word, suffer with him. That we may, not guaranteed, be also glorified together. The same glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. His inheritance. We can be joint heirs with Christ. Not only is our inheritance as far as our salvation is concerned, we're able to have the opportunity to be a joint heir with Christ. And we know that He is heir over everything in creation. And that He's coming, that He will come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years on this planet, and then even, obviously, into eternity after that. His inheritance. We can be a joint heir with Him if we do what? Suffer. What did Paul say? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Suffer the loss of all things. It's the suffering that's going to be involved. In this world, and especially at this time, there are some things that we're going to go through. But none of what we suffer compares to what we can have in being a joint heir with Christ and sharing His glory. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, for I reckon, this is Paul figuring again. Paul was from the south. He was southern Jewish. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That no matter what we suffer on this planet, standing on truth and doing what God has called us to do, it's going to be, can't even mention the same breath of the glory that's going to be revealed in us. But notice the words may. If, I should say if first, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Okay, preacher, that's just a couple of verses there, yeah, but you know, have you got anything else? Well, yeah, I do. Let's continue on to the right here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think a lot of you are familiar with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to pick it up in verse 11. Though the passage doesn't mention the words judgment seat of Christ, this is what is taking place at the judgment seat of Christ, and I have several verses that deal with the judgment seat of Christ, but that's not my point today. It's just understanding that there is something to win and there is something to lose. We're supposed to be winning Christ. We win Christ, we get it all. But if we're not doing the things that we need to do, count all things lost, suffer the loss of all things for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we're going to lose out on winning Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says this, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, now remember, the foundation is Christ. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a foundation. Alright? And it can't be taken away from you. But God is desiring more than that. So again, in verse 12, it says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Okay? We have a discipleship lesson, all right? Lesson 12 that deals with the judgment seat of Christ that specifically goes through what the gold, silver, precious stones are. I'll tell you real quick. Gold is that priority, your love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? That is priority number one, like I've already mentioned. That's the gold. Silver is sharing the truth of the Word of God with others. Again, that's something that all believers are supposed to be doing. Not just the pastor, not just the preacher, not just the deacon. All right? Every believer in Christ has the command, really, to share the truth of the Word of God. That's the silver. The precious stones are the people that you invest the truth in. All right? That's what we talk about, discipleship. That's what we talk about, spending time with people and investing in their walk and relationship with the Lord, teaching them how they can grow in that. But wood, hay, and stubble, guess what? They each specifically have things as well. But basically, let's just call it this. It's living in the flesh. It's living in this world. In a sense of whatever the world has to offer, whatever, that's what you're doing. You're a Christian, but you're a worldly Christian. Alright? Now, your work is going to be judged. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare. That day is the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture of the church, alright, the resurrection of the body of Christ, We go right into judgment seat time. All right, and your work is going to be judged. You're not judged for sin that's dealt with on Calvary's cross. You're judged based on your service, all right, as a believer in Christ. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You're winning Christ. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, isn't that interesting? Suffer loss. And what did Paul say in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8? I count all things what? Loss. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And do count them but done, but that I may win Christ. Now think about that. Think about that. Either we're going to count things lost now so that we're able to win Christ later at the judgment seat of Christ, or we're going to continue to live our life that we're just focused on whatever the world has to do. We don't count all things lost, and guess where we're going to suffer the loss at? Judgment seat of Christ. And there's no do-overs. It's not going to be, oh Lord, I just didn't quite understand. I didn't know. You had the Bible. You had my Spirit of God in you. I'm leading you. I'm directing you. I'm giving you the Word. There's not going to be any excuse. When it comes to judgment seat of Christ, and I've used this illustration before. Unfortunately, the class of 2020 didn't have much of a graduation this year. I mean, some places were able to do something and most places weren't. But I remember my graduation, you know, and it's like I had a class of 350, 60, 70 people. I don't know. Pretty big class. But there were people that not just graduated, but they graduated with honors. All right? And everybody there, you have your robe on and everything like that. But then there's the people that had the little gold tassels and things like that because they're in the National Honor Society. They graduated with honors and so forth. And, of course, you had a class, valedictorian and all that sort of stuff. And you could be happy that, hey, yeah, you know, I'm graduating. I'm out of high school. I'm done. But then there's people that graduate with honors. And I really kind of liken the judgment seat of Christ to that. Every true believer in Christ, you have heaven. You're inheritance. All right? You're in heaven. But then there's going to be those, when they win Christ, their glory is going to outshine the others that are just in heaven. And you got to think, you know, I don't know what it's like in graduation. Maybe I could care 2 cents about somebody graduating valedictorian or having little golden tassels. I can care less. Whatever. But then there's something, I bet you, that's like, you know what? Man, if I just tried a little bit harder, if I would have tried a little bit harder in that class, then maybe I would have been a National Honor Society. I would have graduated with honors. But there's nothing you can do about it. Graduation, there's nothing. You can't change it. You can't go back. And if you think about that, and if you think that maybe it's like, you know, you're the one without the golden tassels, and maybe it's like, man, I wish I would have tried harder and had a little bit of regret about that. Maybe I would have tried a little bit harder, would have gotten a scholarship or something like that. That doesn't even begin to compare with the disappointment that can be experienced at the judgment seat of Christ, saying, you know what, how come I just didn't count all things lost? How come I just didn't serve the Lord like He wanted me to? You have a great, yeah, I'm in heaven, but man, for those who win Christ, they're a joint heir with everything that Christ has, and He has it all. Every Christian will have heaven, but then there'll be Christians that win Christ, and they'll be able to rule and reign, be married to Christ, part of the bride, for all of eternity. Well, okay, do you have any other verses? Oh, I have plenty, but why don't we go over to 2 Corinthians? We talk about this being married to Christ. That leads us into our next reference that I want to go to, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, I know that this is spending a lot of time on this verse, but it's an important message because, you know what? It's just not taught. Matter of fact, for those who listen to Facebook, whatever, here, it's like, you tell me. Tell me the last time that you've heard a message like this, aside from our church. Aside from church in Kansas City, Baptist Church, Kansas City Bible Church. Sorry, David Davis, I'm so sorry. All right, anyhow, how often do you hear something like that? You turn on the radio, turn on the TV, how often do you hear a message about the opportunity to win Christ and that you can suffer loss? Even talk about a judgment seat of Christ, that Christians are going to be judged for the works. Tell me the last time. Tell me the place that you hear that. It's just not taught at all. And last I check, obviously, it's still hearing the Word of God. It's not like God says, yeah, I know I wrote that, but you know what? It's 2020. I really didn't really mean that. You forget about that stuff. All that's important is that you just love God. Now, how often have you heard that message? Oh, just love God. Just love Him. Know the Lord. How often do you hear that? If you truly love, keep my commandments. Keep my word. Yeah, as Christians, we have commandments. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 to 3 says this: Would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed, bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused or engaged you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That would be winning Christ. That would be being able to be married to Him. We are engaged to Christ. We are not married to Christ right now. We are espoused or engaged. And verse 3 says, But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He uses Eve and Adam as an example of this. I don't have time to get into all the details of that, but Paul's concern was that the Corinthians were not going to be married to Christ because of being deceived. And there's a lot of deception going on in Christianity today. Now, all we need to do is just love Jesus. Just love Jesus. Love your neighbor. Try to be a good person. And everybody's going to be fine. I'm literally just scratching the surface of what we're talking about here. About winning Christ. Being able to be part of the bride. To be married to Him. I want to give you a couple more references and then we've got to move on to the next verse in Philippians. But I want you to go over to 2 Timothy real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 11 and read down verse 12 actually. That'll be sufficient. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11 says this: It is a faithful thing. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. I mean, that's our salvation. I mean, we talked about that, being spiritual circumcision a couple of weeks ago, all right? And that we've died to the old self, buried, all right? Been raised to walk in newness of life. That's our salvation. So, this is a faithful thing. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. Notice verse 12. If we, there's that word again, suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Now, there's some Christian denominations that want to use this verse and say you can lose your salvation. That's not the context of what I was talking about. All right? Matter of fact, if I was to go into verse 13, you'll see that it talks about we have eternal security. Even if we come to the place that we believe not, He can't deny Himself. All right? We are still saved. Once saved, you are saved. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. We read those verses back in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. So what is he talking about? Well, what's the context of that very direct verse in verse 12? If we suffer, we'll reign. Conditional. If we deny Him, and trust me, if you are standing for the Lord, you are going to suffer some things. You're going to go through some things. This world is against God. All right? You're going to go through, matter of fact, in the same book, in chapter 3, verse 12, says, Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a promise. You want to claim the promises of God? That's a promise. You live godly in this world, you're going to go through persecution. But again, as we even saw in Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If we suffer, we reign. If we deny Him, He denies us what? What's that verse talking about? Reigning. You're a Christian that will be in heaven, but you won't be reigning with Christ. How many of you, if you worked a job, you do your job to the best of your ability, and somebody else works the job with you, they slack off all the time. And also the company says, man, you know, I want to give you a bonus.
You get a bonus, but then the person that doesn't do anything, they also get a bonus. How does that make you feel? Why'd I work so hard? If Joe over there, or Susie over there, gets a bonus, they don't do anything.
Literally talking to a worker at the hotel. And she's a little bit upset, and I think she had a little bit of right to be, to where her hours got backed off to just being 2 days a week. Now, I talked to her last night, everything's kind of changed, and I'm thinking, try to encourage her to just continue to do what's right and trust God and, take care of it.
But there's another lady that worked the same job, but they ended up giving her the full time, right? And this is a girl that all of a sudden didn't show up to work, walked off. Unfortunately, she's involved in an abusive relationship. She out was doing some things, whatever, all right?
But then she came back, and they gave her the full-time position over the one that was there. So she talked to the boss, talked to the other person. They straightened it out. They got a deal with it, And I know the other girl, and everything like that. But it's like we all can have a story like that. We can all share something like that and say, that's just not right. That's just not fair. Well, do you think God the Father is going to be any different? You think it's going to be fair? You think that God is like, okay, Joe Christian over here, man, they did everything they can, man, they were serving, they were doing the best they can, and so forth, and had a heart for me, love for me, and then there's somebody that did, took the grace of God and took it in vain. Didn't do anything. Just live in the world. Guess what, everybody? It's participation day. Everybody gets to rule and reign, doesn't matter what you did. How would that make you feel? Now, the ones who are not doing what they're supposed to do as far as Christ, they'll be like, yeah, it sounds like a good plan to me. And that's, unfortunately, a lot of what is being preached and taught in churches today. It does not matter. If you're just saying that everybody's going to rule and reign, everything and so forth, that is not what the Bible says. And we know in our human nature here on planet that it's not fair for one employee that does nothing gets the same reward as everybody that works their butt off. And we know the injustice of that. What do you think the judgment seat of Christ is going to be? It's not going to be participation trophy time. It's not going to be just there, doesn't matter. No! And the judgment seat of Christ, I kind of hope I'm not standing by the person that just got ate by a lion at the Coliseum because he said Christ. Like, what did I suffer? there's going to be some suffering standing for the Lord. There is. I'm going to tell you this right now. The majority of the suffering that I've experienced as a Christian is from other Christians. That's just not a loving message. It's just being decisive and so forth and so on. That's not what the Lord has. Did I add or take away in any of the verses that I read about this? No, I haven't. I'll give you one more reference. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 19. In our Bible study, we'll be focusing on Revelation today. And so we'll be back there after this service. But I want you to look at Revelation chapter 19. This is the chapter that deals with Christ coming back. After the rapture of the church, after the judgment seat of Christ, after the 7-year tribulation period, the Lord comes back. And I want you to notice He comes back with them. All right? It's going to be the bride. All right? It's going to be those Christians that have done what they're supposed to do to win Christ. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you have not served Him, and it comes to the judgment seat of Christ and you have nothing to show for your Christianity, you suffer loss, you're not part of this. I wouldn't be a part of this. All right? In Revelation chapter 19, I want you to notice what it says in verse 7 and 8. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." We'll talk about that here in a second. That righteousness. that she's made herself ready. Alright? Any woman that has been married, when it comes to the wedding day, I don't care how fancy the wedding is, my wife and I getting married on a beach in the Virgin Islands. There's some preparation time that goes into that to be ready for that day. And it's a perfect picture of what we as believers in Christ should be doing now. We should be making ourselves ready by serving the Lord. Understanding that this world has nothing to even begin to offer us that compares to being a joint heir with Christ, winning Christ, and that glory that will be revealed in us. We need to make ourselves ready. You go back to Philippians chapter 3. From verse 8 again, it says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, and for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Remember that bride had made herself ready, and she was arrayed in white linen, fine and clean, and that linen is the righteousness of the saints. It's not a matter, Paul says, being found in the righteousness which is of the law. Now, we talked about that last week. I'm not going to take the time to go back to that reference, but you can write it down, review it. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. It's where Paul is talking about the nation of Israel and how he has a heart for them and that they have a zeal of God, but not according to righteousness, God's righteousness. They establish their own righteousness. And Paul says, I don't want any kind of righteousness that comes from the law. No, I want the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ. His faith. His faith that got him to the cross. That he suffered the death, burial, or the resurrection for everyone. He died for everyone's sins. It was that faith that got him to the cross. That faith that he had in God. Even when God turned his back on him because he becomes sin. I mean, he's the very punishment of dealing with everything that we would experience if we die and go to hell. Eternity away from God. Jesus Christ experienced all of that on the cross. And it was that faith that he had. And that's the faith that we need to have. It's his faith. Go over to Galatians real quick. We've seen this before, and we've talked about Galatians 2:20. I'm actually not going to go to 2:20, but I do want you to go to chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, but look at it in verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 in verse 16. Says this, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." It's not going to be by any kind of law, any kind of religion, or anything like that. Of his abuse and doubts or anything like that. How is a person justified before God? By the faith of Jesus Christ. The moment that we place our faith in Christ and what He has done for us, that's when we became just. For me, it happened back in June 4th, 1988. Alright? Hopefully everybody has and knows when they have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You may not know the exact day and hour, but you know this is the time of your life that you accepted Jesus Christ. Alright? And that you have the righteousness which is by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. God even gives us the faith to even believe the message. Real quickly, last reference, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Something that is a theme verse for our church. We call ourselves Faith Bible Church. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. That's actually 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. But we also have this, because this is how we can grow in our faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We talk about, I just don't have enough faith. You have faith to trust Christ. If you're a Christian, you have faith to trust when He's done on the cross. You weren't there. You weren't there 2,000 years ago. You didn't see Him die on the cross for you. You didn't see Him buried. You didn't see Him resurrect the third day. You didn't see any of that. You know that by faith through the Word of God. And that same faith that has saved us is the same faith that we need to serve the Lord. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it simply says this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Paul figured all the things that this world has to offer. Loss. Count it loss. I suck at the loss of all things. How do you count it but done? But I may win Christ. Not only did that figuring, he wants to be found, what? The righteousness which is God, which is by faith. When Christ comes back for us, right? Will he find us in faith? Still trusting? Still believing? Do we really believe the Word of God? That word believe and faith are very similar. I don't have enough faith. Then you don't have enough time in the Word of God. Sounds very cut and dry, I know. But Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God even gives, talk about not doing anything for your salvation in this dispensation of grace that we're in. God even gives us the faith to believe. When that message of the gospel was shared with you, God gave you the faith. Now you had to choose. You had to choose. And if you chose Christ, I mean, he gave you the faith to believe it. Well, it's the same thing as Christians. Yeah, this world's tough. Yeah, there's going to be some tough things that we have to deal with. Yeah, there's going to be some things that we're going to suffer the loss of some things, of all things. But for the opportunity that we may win Christ, oh, it's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth it. And if we're going to continue to live and walk by faith, then we can't do it without this, the Word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing. Let me hear God's Word. That's what's going to grow my faith, to be able to accomplish the service that God wants me to do. So why? What's the goal? That I may win Christ. Not just to have more Bible knowledge, not just to have, you know, bragging rights or something like that. We know that's not the case. It's for the purpose of being able to win Christ, to rule and reign with Him, to be married to Him, to be joint heirs. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day, Lord. I thank you for this message. I know it's a little bit longer than I usually preach, but just needed and necessary. And my prayer is that, again, that you would just open up the eyes of our understanding, that we may know and understand what His inheritance, winning Christ, literally, Lord, it's just scratching the surface of what your word says about this subject matter. And it's something that is desperately need to be heard among Christians today. Because there's too many Christians that, just like in this world of participation trophies, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter, you know, everybody gets a trophy. That's not right. It's not fair. It's not learning. That's not teaching anything. But yet, in as much as we understand that, there's so much of Christianity that it's exactly the same way. They think that it doesn't matter. Once you get in Christ, just love God, and everybody is just going to be rewarded the same. And that is not even close to what your word says. And your word has not changed. I pray that each and every one of us, as believers in Christ, would open up our hearts to this truth. And that we decide that every day that we count the things of this world loss. That if we suffer the loss of all things, it doesn't matter because we've already counted it loss. Because our focus, our purpose, is to win Christ. Help everyone that hears this message hear this message. Starting with me. Talk about a vision to lead. Paul led in this. You've given us the Apostle Paul and his dispensation of grace so that we can understand what it is and how to actually follow you biblically. Help us to follow your word, Lord. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.